You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where everything is awesome and where we wreck the internet. I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about a few things we've been checking out.
Insert air horns here.
We watched a bunch of Freakazoid.
Yes, we
excellent.
Did.
Freak for me. Freak for you.
It's on Verve.
Oh, it is.
The whole thing is on Verve.
Really? Excellent.
Yeah. It holds up pretty well.
It holds up very well.
I loved Freakazoid.
Awesome. Yeah.
The best.
It's my favorite of the Steven Spielberg Amblin cartoon.
It's like the one they just said, okay, just do whatever. Yeah. Just do it.
It's hilarious. It's so funny.
We're giggling pretty hard.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that Candlejack episode.
Oh, no, you said his name.
Oh, no, I said his name. I've been captured now.
I love the fact that instead of flying, he just runs around with his arms forward.
Yeah, go shh.
Yeah.
In that Candlejack episode, he's
trying. Oh, no, you've said it.
Yeah, he tries to take off. He's like, fly. Come on. Go, fly. And it's like, Freakazoid, you don't fly. Oh, yeah. It's just so off the wall and, like, so, like, my sense of humor, like to a T. I've always liked Freakazoid, and I think it's highly underrated, for one. And where's his movie deal?
Yeah, where is Freakazoid's movie deal?
He could be a family-friendly Deadpool.
He really could. You know what? That's a really good way of describing the character, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah.
They should definitely make that film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who would you cast as Freakazoid?
It'd have to be someone who could slip into a Jerry Lewis impression, yeah, like at the drop of a hat.
He does that so much.
So much with the lady.
And it's funny.
Yeah, it's great. Every time.
I almost feel like maybe like mask era Jim Carrey could have probably done it.
It's a lot. That's a very similar character.
It is. Yeah. Of that time.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
But yeah, Freakazoid's great. I love that show.
They also have Road Rovers, which I don't remember at all.
Sounds kind of familiar.
No.
They were dog CIA agents.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think I did see a couple episodes. I wasn't invested in it, but I do remember catching it.
I haven't watched it yet, but I don't remember it at all, and it was the same people.
No, see, that doesn't sound familiar at all. You said Road Rovers, and the first thing I thought of was dogs that turned into cars, and then I just thought of Turbo Teen.
It always goes back to Turbo Teen.
It does. You know, he's a teen that turns into a car when he eats spicy food.
I don't think I've seen that at all. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Turbo Teen?
It was old Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the entirety of the plot, is he's a teen that turns into a car when he eats spicy food.
There's only a couple episodes of it, I think.
Yeah, it's not a...
Oh, man. Speaking of, like, teens that, like, do weird things, this kind of just popped in my head as, like, a kind of a side thought. Do you guys remember Star Kid?
The movie Star Kid?
Yes.
That movie's weird.
Yeah, where the kid's in the alien suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the alien suit eats a cheeseburger because
for
the
him.
Kid was hungry, and then the suit on the inside gives the kid, like, a protein ball, like, is, like... The broken down whatever's left over.
Yeah, he took out all the bad stuff.
It's like the worst version of Iron Man, where the Iron Man suit actively like ruins the kid's life.
Cheeseburgers.
And like the weird scenes where the kid is conversing with the suit, and there's like a scene with like a face on the inside of the helmet talking to him.
Oh yeah, that's super weird. Or how about that extended scene where the kid had to use the restroom and
the suit
like gave him a nozzle.
Yeah, but it's up here in his chest because it's an alien suit.
Yeah. Oh,
this sounds like some H.R. Giger nightmare.
Oh. No, it's off. It was so cheesy and bad and awful. And the suit kind of looked like a.
Kind of looked like that? Kind of looked
like
a weird alien baby thing?
I hate it. Thanks, I hate it.
Yeah. Look at it.
I hate it.
Look at Star Kid.
I never want to see
Soak
this.
It in.
I never want to see this.
Soak in that Star Kid. That one's even worse. Here he is on the trading card.
Why did they make this?
Who's this for?
Family friendly. It's a family friendly film.
Yeah, like aliens superhero movie.
here's the alien that's supposed to be inside Star Kid.
Oh man, so bad.
It's terrible. Star Kid was awful.
You're welcome for that nostalgia of feces. That movie was.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of bad movies, I watched a bad movie the other day. Do you guys remember Geostorm? It was out in theaters very briefly.
Sounds familiar.
I just keep thinking about Geo Safari.
Geo Metro?
Geo Metro.
Yeah. No, Geostorm was a movie that was made like last year or maybe the year before. I think it was last year.
Yeah, it's not, the title sounds familiar.
Really, really recent, starring Gerard Butler. Yes.
As the Storm.
Yeah, as the Storm. No, so I guess this is set like, and I'll be honest with you, I don't remember much of this movie because it was very bad, but not like fun, enjoyable bad.
Oh,
it was like taking itself too serious bad. And also, I was really sick
while hey, I've watching been there. It.
So you wanted to punish yourself or punish the virus?
Yes, actually, yes, to both. But no, it's set in like this weird future where like, the ozone layer has like degraded to the point where it's causing weird like storms across the Earth. But they built this space station to like protect the Earth. But no, now the space station is like malfunctioning or something. And Gerard Butler built the station and has to go back up to space to fix it. But oh no, it was sabotaged by terrorists in order to make a giant like doomsday weather machine.
Space terror. It was Cobra.
Kind of. It kind of was Cobra.
Like a Cobra plot.
It kind of was. And so the Geostorm is like this thing malfunctioning and like weird freak storms happening across the Earth, like hail the size of cars and like tornadoes that just destroy all of India. That's a scene in the movie.
And then it gets cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
It does, in fact. Yes. The movie... Well, I mean,
there's a leak in the boat.
I mean, the CG is... The CG is all right. The plot is paper thin. This movie could have been great if they didn't take it so seriously. Yeah. Like, I wanted Independence Day levels of schlock.
It sounds like a real Sharknado.
You know what? And if they would have taken it, if they would have had it winked at the camera even a little bit, it would have been a Sharknado. But because they played it so incredibly like deadpan, no, this is serious. Geostorm is a serious, big time serious thing.
This is a serious threat. You should be scared.
Yeah, and
Geostorm could happen to you.
Bum bum bum.
Yeah. There was a really funny quick shot where they thought they were going. The one guy had figured out what was going on with the Geostorm, and he was meeting a CIA agent and like the guy who's in charge of like the space station on the ground. Like at a diner or a bistro or something. And they see him like these two people are sitting at a table outside and they see the guy across the street that is going to come and tell them what's going on. The guy takes one step into the road and gets hit by a car and flies up into the air. And it was like one singular shot of craziness. I actually had to rewind it and rewatch it.
Wow.
Yeah. And like this movie that is otherwise very, very serious.
I thought you were going to say a big old piece of hail fell on him.
No. He did outrun a volcano in the middle of, like, Los Angeles or something.
Oh, hail no.
Yeah. That should have been the tagline. Yeah.
We do jokes here on the podcast sometimes.
Sometimes. That wasn't one of them, but sometimes we do jokes. So that's it. I have nothing else to talk about Geostorm. I'm glad I Redboxed it where it was very cheap.
So you could throw it back somewhere and not see it ever again.
That's exactly right.
Get out of here. Get out of here with that. God, you remember like a few years ago, there was like a whole like flood of like superstorm disaster movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, what was that? What was that one? Was the Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow.
From 2012.
I yeah.
Think. Yeah.
Because there was that movie 2012. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
I spent a lot of time playing West of Loathing on the Switch.
Okay, cool.
Since I've been sick, a lot of my time has just been laying in bed playing that. I've actually played all the way through it in 2 days.
Oh, right on.
It's a very, very good and very, very funny game.
Okay.
It's kind of like a spinoff of that web game Kingdom of Loathing, if you've ever played that.
Nope.
I've heard the name.
You've missed out.
Yeah, it's like a web-based RPG game that's very, very silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun thing to do during class.
Yeah. Yeah, I played it a lot during class when I was in school.
So you're a bad student.
Yeah. But this one, like, actually makes it into, like, a full RPG with, like, turn-based battles and stuff. And this one, the original Kingdom of Loathing was, like, kind of fantasy-themed as much as it's silly also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the original, there was a class called Pasta Mancer.
Nice.
You know, spaghetti magics. In this one, it's Western-themed, and you give classes like Cow Puncher and Snake Oiler.
Oh, that's cool.
And Bean Mancer.
Bean Mancer.
All right. Bean Magics.
Cool, cool.
It is truly a magical fruit.
You caught me off guard with that one. But I mean, you go around and you do quests for people. There's a lot of reading, and which is fine because the writing is really funny.
Okay, cool.
It's very silly, and the comedy really works. Everything is in black and white and stick figures, which is fine, and it's only like $11, so it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
If you like RPGs and it plays really well on the Switch. I've actually had it on PC for a long time but never finished it because I only finish games on the Switch, apparently. I'm so much more likely to finish a game if it's on a portable console.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but I guess because you can play it wherever.
I think RPGs lend themselves to portable consoles more than
anything else.
Yeah, I really think so.
Did you want to talk about the Mario Tennis Tournament thing that was this
weekend? Oh, yeah, this weekend was
I totally missed out on that. Mario, how was it?
It was very good. It's a very, very good game. Super intense. Was it the new one? Yeah.
I wish I could have played it.
It was very good. It's definitely going to be worth getting when it comes out. The mechanics work really well. The stuff they added, the special moves and the zone shots and stuff, mm-hmm. they work really well. It's just all very, very good.
Cool.
The online was a little spotty. If you get connected to somebody that has a bad connection, you're not going to have any fun.
Ah, that sucks.
Which is a shame. But before the match starts, they tell you, you know, how good of a connection the other person has, so you can
opt out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard the last couple of games they've had have had those kind of problems. The Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection has had, I guess the netcode is just atrocious.
That's unfortunate. On that.
And it's not just Switch. It's like cross-platform, just in general.
So that was Capcom's fault.
It's Capcom's fault on that one.
But if I think people who are having a lot of connection problems, it'll probably be fine when it comes out because it won't be free.
Ah, yeah.
There won't be as many people playing it because there's that barrier of entry.
True.
That $60 barrier of entry.
Good point.
Yeah, that paywall.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm excited to see the story mode because the basics are there and they're very, very good.
Okay, yeah. I'm interested to see what they do with the story mode for this as well. So, yeah.
Also, tennis outfits.
Yeah. Apparently, Waluigi is too good.
Oh, really?
People were complaining that he's OP, apparently. I played him as him once and I didn't care for him, but apparently I wasn't doing it right.
Get good.
Yeah. I was maining Yoshi because he's fast.
Ah, there you go.
And you could actually like unlock characters as you went on. It kind of gave you something to do.
Oh, really?
For playing the demo, yeah.
Interesting.
You got points as you play and win matches, and the more points you get, you'd start unlocking characters.
Cool.
Hmm.
Now, do you think those character unlocks will transfer over to the actual game?
I doubt it.
Yeah, okay.
You do get
like outfits and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, you do get a Mario outfit for doing the demo.
Oh, right on.
You get his regular clothes.
Oh, cool.
If you wanted to play in those.
Cool.
But yeah, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't played a tennis game in a while, and I think this is going to be one to jump back in on, sure.
I'm glad that they are making up for the horrible tennis mistake.
Oh, God. On the Wii U one. Oh, yeah. That was awful.
It was very bad.
Yeah, I remember that debacle. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't pick that one up.
Yep, they just wanted something to release before the holidays, so they crapped out a very bad tennis game with no features.
Yeah.
This seems to be like the opposite of that.
Well, let's see. Another thing I checked out, I don't know if we can get into it or not. I saw Solo.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, I need to go see that still.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then we probably can't talk about Solo in that case.
Give it another week.
Give it another week? Okay.
Give me your quick impression.
It was...
A movie?
It was okay. It's not... It's going to be the first Star Wars movie to lose money in the box office domestically. And I can see why. I think that it had some really strong points to it. I think the weakest actor in the movie was Han Solo. And the one thing I can't get into now, but I definitely want to get into when we are able to talk about the movie, there is a character's side arc that is played almost as comedy, but has like ramifications that I think were unseen by the filmmaker for that echo throughout the entirety of the original trilogy. Huh. And it kind of left a weird taste in my mouth because of it.
Yeah, I really want to see it. So hopefully by next week we'll be able to do a spoiler cast on it.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, we can do that.
We've been watching The Goldbergs a lot.
Oh, that's a good show.
It is a very good show. It's very much your standard sitcom fare, but it's good.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
They really play to their aesthetic, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they do the 80s good.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters are strong, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
The mom, Wendy McClendon Covey, she is a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
She's hilarious. I've always thought she was really funny, like even back when she was on Reno 911 and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh man, Reno.
But yeah, no, I really enjoy the Goldbergs. That's a show that's really good. Have you how far into it are you?
We just started on the 5th season, I think.
Okay. Have you gotten past the Weird Al episode?
Yes.
Oh yeah, man, that was really good. So wild that they got him, like they put him in the curly haired wig and mustache.
Yeah. Yeah, they made Weird Al play young Weird Al.
Yeah. That was so good.
It was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love how it takes place in 1980 something.
So yeah.
It's nebulous what year it actually is.
That way they can make references from any point during the 80s.
Yeah.
And it still kind of works. I love the either during the credits or after the credits at the end, they show some of the home movies
that
he had filmed.
Those are always funny. And there's always like parts during the show where you're like, we're going to see the real version of this at the end.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But, I would definitely recommend that show if you like sitcoms or just want something to watch that's not challenging.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's pleasant.
Yeah. I mean, they always do like a pretty heavy-handed moral at the end,
but
that kind of gets old if you watch a bunch in a row.
Yeah, that gets old if you watch a bunch in a row, but I mean, a lot of the shows and movies from the 80s have that heavy-handed moral, so
yeah.
I think as much as they're giving you the moral, they're also homaging stuff from the 80s that have those morals. And I like how Grandpa is just a big old perv.
Yeah,
like they never come right out and say it because you're seeing it kind of through the lens
of a kid.
Kid, but like he's just a big old perv.
Yeah. And just some of his lines are just really funny.
They're really good. Yeah,
like the way he says Batman instead of Batman.
Yeah,
but yeah, if you just want a good sitcom that's kind of comfort foodie,
it is. Yeah, very much so.
That's definitely
something
to check out.
Yeah, big tasty.
Barry is very funny.
He is. Oh yeah.
Oh geez.
Oh geez, Rick.
Oh gosh. Oh geez.
Oh geez. Let's see.
70 episodes, Morty.
Let's see here.
100 years.
I caught up on a handful of cartoons.
Oh, good.
Steven Universe, Starverse, The Forces of Evil, and DuckTales.
Oh, I need to catch. I really need to catch up on DuckTales.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dude, Steven Universe dropped such a big bomb.
Oh, no.
Don't.
I've only watched...
I called it from the beginning.
I'm not going to tell.
Yeah,
don't even.
I'm not going to, but I'm saying it here now. I called it from the beginning.
We only ever watched the first episode of DuckTales.
Oh, man. I got to the episode where Darkwing Duck shows up.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
They got all the voices back.
Oh, no way.
He's on the TV. He's a TV
show.
Yeah,
in canon, he's a TV show.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. And he's an action show.
I saw a clip of it on YouTube. It was very good.
But also in that same episode, within universe, Gizmo Duck shows up.
Yes, Lin-Manuel Miranda, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's super good.
Yeah, he's popped up on a couple episodes, but this is the first time he actually popped up as Gizmo Duck.
Oh, cool.
It's super good. God, the DuckTales is so good.
Yeah, it's not canonically part of the DuckTales universe, right? It's a separate universe.
It's its own separate thing. Yep.
Okay. Though in the first episode, they do make references to St. Canard, Spoonerville.
Mm-hmm. From what I understand, the original Darkwing Duck show and the original DuckTales show would be like Earth 1 and Earth 2 from DC Comics, where there's a version of Superman in both, which would be like your Gizmo Duck.
Yeah.
But in one, Darkwing Duck is an actual superhero, and in the other, it's not a
TV show.
Like,
and that explains why Launchpad is...
Is in both. And one's, he's a little bit more competent and heroic, and then the other one, he's a big doofus.
He's apparently a big fan of the TV show and the DuckTales universe.
He has a Darkwing Duck on his bobblehead on the dashboard.
Oh, that's cool.
And when he taps it, it says, "Let's get dangerous."
That's awesome.
Man, Star versus the Force of Evil got kind of heavy.
It can do that.
Oh, I know, but it got real heavy. But explored like all this weird stuff with like Mewman and monster relations and whatnot.
Huh. There always seemed like there was something off about Muni.
Yeah, Muni's a weird place. Yeah. But get this whole thing in with, like, you know, past royals and whatnot. Because, like, pretty much right now the series, it's like Marco leaves Earth and just starts living on Muni.
Huh.
As Star's squire. Let's see here. Oh, geez, what else did I do? Played Beyond Two Souls. Beat it.
Oh, give me, in 2 minutes or less, what are your opinions of Beyond Two Souls?
Well,
the David Cage, the Cajuning.
Like any David Cage game, I hate the controls so much.
You mean you don't like walking like a fire truck?
No. People are...
Having to make wide turns?
People are garbage. Also, like any David Cage game, there's no real action. Any of the actual action is taking place in quick time events.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole game, though. It's quick time event, the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like a digital choose-your-own-adventure.
It's like a Telltale game, but Telltale games are TV shows, and this is a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you guys seen the compilation videos on YouTube about the failing all the QuickTime events and them? Those are hilarious.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah. Isn't there one in Heavy Rain where the cop gets a chicken thrown at him?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's a bunch of tripping and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a part where you're, like, running from the police and Beyond Two Souls, and, like, if you don't do it right, you're going to bonk your head on a tree log real bad. I mean, it was okay, I guess. The only characters that really looked good was, like, Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe's characters.
Dafoe, yeah.
Everyone else had kind of made weird faces.
It's a David Cage
game. Exactly, yeah. Like, God, there's this part at the end where... a guy that you interact with in the game like goes to his mailbox and gets a letter, and he smiles, but his bottom lip does something weird. It like almost comes to a point.
It's very gummy and like, yeah, it does come to a point.
It's like,
you're right.
It was like, ugh, God, it's hard to look at.
Yeah.
Oh, and then anytime Aiden like possesses people, their eyes go all weird.
Yeah. Well, that's more of an effect with the game. How did you like that complete 180 with Willem Dafoe at the end? Like, he's like your buddy and pal through almost the entire thing.
Yeah, he's like pretty much your dad the whole time.
And until that last act where they needed a bad guy at the very end.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Turns out he's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, went kind of crazy.
Yeah. But there was no real setup for it. There was a little bit, but not like to the point where the game takes it.
Yeah.
I guess.
If anything, the CIA were the bad guys of that movie.
Yeah,
that game.
Well, that's David Cage getting bored with his game halfway through development and wanting to change things.
Yeah,
willy nilly.
It's no Omicron.
Oh, God, Omicron, the Nomad Soul, the fighting game, point and click adventure,
first person shooter.
Oh, bad.
It's a jack of all trades.
Master of None.
Starring David Bowie.
Yeah. Well, not starring David Bowie.
Featuring David Bowie. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we have to take a break now. So everybody stick around and we'll be back with a little bit of news after the break.
Hey, that was Africa covered by Weezer. They did it. Apparently somebody on Twitter was like begging them to cover Africa.
I saw a news report on that. It was a teenage girl from Cleveland who set up a Twitter bot. Yes.
To pester them to cover.
To pester Weezer until they covered Africa.
And they did it. And yeah. It's very good. And you just listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Bless those rains.
Yes.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest songs of all time.
How many times on this show have we played variations of Africa?
Any chance we get.
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough.
Did we play the Ninja Sex Party version?
Multiple times. All right, so we have a little bit of news here, and do we want to get into the Pokemon stuff right off the bat, or do we want to kind of ease our way into it with some of the lighter fare first?
Let's start light and then work our way to that feast of Pokemon news.
Sure, let's do it.
Because it's a lot.
Poke feast.
Sure. So
now those rare candies.
So let's see. We have a couple of movie trailers we can talk about real quick. The first one is the Lego Movie 2.
We have a couple movie trailers for animated children's films.
Hey, great. You know what? They're super good.
They're
so let's talk about
movies.
Them.
Movies. They're for everyone.
Yeah. We sat and watched the second Lego Movie trailer, and it looked fine. Looked good.
They
yeah.
went in a direction I wasn't expecting with a kind of like a Mad Max post-apocalypse.
Although I imagine that's only going to be a very small portion of the film is going to be the Mad Max section.
Because it takes place directly after the end of the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
After the aliens, the Duplo aliens, have taken over.
Yeah. But no, it looks really good. It looks like they have everyone back for this one, which is excellent.
I almost have a hard time looking at Unikitty anymore. Because all I've been doing is watching the Unikitty show on Cartoon Network.
Is it good? I haven't watched it.
It's got its moments. It's weird. Like they always have like this actual like Lego opening, and then they get into the animated. But there's always like those little Lego sound effects in the show.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway, Lego Movie 2, the next part.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to bridge the gap between regular Legos and the Lego Friends line.
Yeah.
That looks like that's what the plot is.
Kinda, yeah.
My thing is, one, I think, you know, gender-specific toys is really dumb.
That's dumb.
Especially for, like, building blocks like Lego.
Mm-hmm.
But why did the Lego company have to make them so different? Like, you couldn't just have regular Lego minifigs? You had to make these weird Polly Pocket-esque
girls
things
don't really relate to those. They found we, out we actually
yeah,
just
we
watched.
Actually just watched the Toys That Made Us episode on Lego, and it was very good. But yeah, apparently like girls just don't get anything out of the regular shape minifig.
Really?
Yeah. So and the mini doll one, they that works. So
yeah, apparently it's doing really really well.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is it because of the fig, or is it because they made a bunch of elves and cat and like dragons and stuff, because you know girls love dragons.
Yeah,
I mean that line is pretty cool.
It's a cool line.
That fantasy line is really cool.
Yeah,
the basically Polly Pocket ones are kind of weird. I think
that's something else I watched. I watched the first one of the first episodes of Toys That Made Us, the Star Wars episode.
Yeah, that's a really good show.
It's a really good doc.
I've watched all of them.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's really good. Really interesting.
I kind of don't like a lot of the editing, but.
The reenactment at the beginning of each episode is weird. I don't care for that. But
the weird stuff they do in it to make it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, some of that's
just give
little,
it info.
Yeah.
The Transformers one was really good, and I don't really care about Transformers any. But that episode was very interesting, the way they merged these Japanese toys to create the Transformers.
Oh, sure. Was it the GoBots line, and there was
it was Diaclone.
Takara, the Diaclone, yeah.
Yeah, Diaclone and Microman?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, with the headmasters and stuff? Was that what Microman was?
I think you're thinking Micronauts.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, the Transformers line in America were like two or three different
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we watched the Lego Movie 2 trailer. There's also a Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer.
Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Lots of princesses.
Lots of princesses. Princesses.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, I'm into it.
They all look really good in 3D, too, I think.
I think, yeah. They transfer over really well.
Where's Mulan?
She was there.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
I didn't see her.
She was there. And they got every voice actress that is still currently around to voice their characters. And the ones that aren't around, they got the ones from the American voice track of Kingdom Hearts to fill in. So there's Paige O'Hara is going to be there for Ariel. There's going to be... Belle.
Yeah,
Paige O'Hara is Belle.
Amber Benson?
Jodie Benson. Jodie Benson is Ariel. Yeah, like they got everyone, and that's really cool.
I loved how Merida was in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how Cinderella breaks her glass slipper like a bottle.
She's getting ready to shank. Yeah,
threatens Vanellope with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm a little concerned with Wreck-It Ralph 2 is I'm afraid it's going to go in slightly the same direction or have shades of the Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
Where there are large swaths of the Emoji Movie is them just going from app to app. And it's basically just like, hey, this company gave us, you know, sponsorship money. So here's a section set in Twitter land and here's a section set in Dropbox.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, hey kids, it's all your favorite giant conglomerate corporations.
Yeah.
Ooh, Google.
Plus, I mean, the whole idea was Ralph was a video game character.
It's definitely straying away from that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I was, when I heard he was going to the internet, I thought it was going to be like he gets trapped in an MMO.
Or yeah, something more video game.
Something, but yeah. But no, I mean, I'm excited to see it. I like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, a lot of Star Wars in there too.
Yeah, that surprised me.
I'm sure we'll see some Marvels.
Oh, I'm sure.
You see Iron Man in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I'm in. I'm into it for sure.
But it doesn't look like an absolute sure thing.
It doesn't. Yeah.
But to be fair, it's still early.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I wasn't, until I saw Wreck-It Ralph, the first one, it wasn't an absolute 100% sure thing for me.
That's true.
Anyway, I don't know what it was about the first couple of trailers for that first one. I was kind of on the fence. I mean, I was going to see it because it's video games and John C. Reilly's great. But
also, it's a Disney film.
It's, yeah. But that movie pleasantly surprised me.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm giving this one the benefit of a doubt. Okay, what is Fallout 76?
It's the next Fallout game, I guess. They did a surprise announcement for it, I don't know, like a week ago.
Yeah, trying to get ahead of this, the whole E3 thing, which is coming up like next week.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So it's a new Fallout game, and that's about all we really know.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool.
Rumor has it that it's online, has some sort of online,
like either co-op or just online thing to it.
Yeah. Watch, it's a battle royale game.
Oh, God.
But from the looks of things, it's probably going to take place in West Virginia or just the Appalachia area because it uses the song, what is the song called? That John Denver song, Country Road.
Country Road,
Take me home.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting trailer. It'll probably be a cool game. I don't know. I'm a big Fallout fan, so I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 4 was kind of disappointing, but
would you say you're a Fallout boy?
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we have another couple of quick hits before we get into this Pokemon stuff, because that's going to take up like the majority of the rest of the show.
I mean, yeah, there was a lot of that.
So there's not much to talk about with this, but I guess Wonder Woman 2 is going to be set in 1984, which, hey, cool. That's fine. That's a good setting.
Yeah, break that glass ceiling.
Is she going to have the big hair?
Is she going to have her weird, like, 80s, 90s costume?
Like, poofy perm.
Yeah. Oh, how about, have you seen Biker Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Well, yes. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the terrible costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real bad. Is she going to have that? I hope not.
I hope not as well.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I like the idea that Wonder Woman is set in different periods of time that is not present day.
Yeah, keeps it interesting.
It does, yeah. And seeing as how she is an immortal super being that has been around at least since World War One, it kind of, they're able to do that with the character where they couldn't quite do that with, say, a Batman or an Aquaman or whatever. And they couldn't get away with that with a Captain America, which would be like almost not exactly the analog form from Marvel, but because of the patriotic nature of the character, I guess.
Yeah.
At least the broad topic, like on the surface, kind of, I guess. Captain America couldn't get away with that because, you know, he's frozen till present day.
Yeah.
So I think that leads to some really interesting stories.
Yeah. Wonder Woman definitely has the kind of like this superhero Highlander thing to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
where she's just kind of just been floating through history.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Let's see. Okay, bouncing from a movie that is set in, that has a definite set time and place, to a movie that is definitely not set in any time or place anymore. So Sony had a Spider-Man spinoff movie based around the characters Silver Sable and Black Cat called Silver and Black that was slated for some release date in the future, and now it has indefinitely been put on hold.
Which means it's never going to get made.
Because it's not a good idea.
It's not. It's really not a good idea. I mean, Black Cat is an interesting character, but she kind of needs Spider-Man there, at least in the origin of the character, I guess. I mean, there have been plenty of Black Cat stories that have been told, you know, on her own. But I think that movie-going audiences might not take to the character quite as well. They just see it as a Catwoman ripoff.
Yeah.
And no one cares about Silver Sable.
I don't even know who that is.
Not a single person.
You've probably told me before because we've talked about it before, but I did not retain it, apparently.
It's like Lady the Punisher that wears all silver and has silver hair.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the extent of her character.
Listen, the only people who care anything about Silver Sable are the ones that had like the Marvel like trading cards. You know, the ones from the 90s that were like painted that looked kind of like Alex Ross, but not really.
Yeah.
And to be honest, even those people don't care about Silver Sable.
I did have this really awesome Venom card back when I was younger, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like part of the card was like textured.
Yeah.
And like the Venom part on the front was like kind of raised a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a super cool card. And it was like kind of shiny.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think I remember the card you're talking about because I think I had that one as well.
Oh, man. Back when card collecting was a thing.
Yeah.
And not for Amiibos.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Okay, so last one before we get into the Pokemon stuff. This is kind of a twofer. Mystery Science Theater is coming back for a season 12, they just announced. They're currently working on it. It's only going to be 6 episodes this season.
Which, that's a little bit of a bummer, I think.
It is, but it kind of gives them a chance to kind of focus down and write really, really good. I'd rather have 6 really excellent episodes than 14.
That's
you
true.
Know, 14 episodes where maybe 4 of them are stellar and the rest are just okay.
Yeah, and they want it to be bingeable, which, I mean,
6 is definitely a bingeable number.
Yeah,
because
the
getting
way
like
it was before, there was no way.
No. And I think that's what they found was that people were kind of dropping off around the episode 8 or 9 or 10 and not coming back to it. I know, that's what I did.
Yeah, I still haven't watched the very last one.
The Christmas episode?
Yeah,
I haven't watched it either. And along with that, they are going back on tour. Doing a live show. They're doing some of the live shows are going to be the movie Deathstalker, and the other one is like
the brain something or other.
Yeah. And I guess the big draw this time is that Joel Hodgson is going to be riffing along with Jonah and the bots.
He's going to be in character as Joel Robinson,
and that's great.
Yeah,
that's super good and fun. It's going to be in Cleveland. It's going to be in Cincinnati. And
it is a little expensive.
It is. We looked it up before the show. It is a little expensive. I think I might be sitting this one out this time around just because it's just on the outside of where I'm comfortable spending money for it. But, you know, if you have a few bucks to throw around,
It's definitely going to be a good show.
It's going to be an excellent show. I'll just catch them next time around. You know, no big deal.
Yeah, it seems like a thing they do now.
Yeah, it's like once a year it seems like they kind of do that, and that's very, very cool. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about this Pokemon stuff. We have a lot. Where do we want to start?
Well, there was a big Pokemon press conference a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah. This would have been the big, super huge news for our last week's show if we had done one. So, okay, let's go with Pokemon Quest. What is that?
It's a free-to-play, free-to-start is how they like to say it for some reason. Pokemon game that has like this like Crossy Road looking QB art style. I played it for 5 minutes and I didn't like it.
It looks like a game that will work better on like a phone or an iPad than it does on the Switch.
Which it is coming out for mobile sometime in the future.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until
I can play
then.
I can play it for like a couple of days and then forget about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it very much is just like a dumb mobile game.
Yeah.
Except you can play it on your Switch right now. I was not impressed.
Yeah, it looked a little, not to say lacking, but it just didn't look quite.
There's just not enough there.
Exactly. Yeah. But hey, you know, if you need a little time waster, I mean, more Pokemon free games or free to start games are never a bad thing.
Pokemon Shuffle might be a better choice, too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Go has a lot of stuff coming back into it, so, you know.
Yeah, I still really like Pokemon Go.
I'm still playing it.
I think it's a very good game for what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, speaking of Pokemon Go.
Yes, let's jump into that.
The next thing they announced was two games called Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, which are kind of like a reimagined Pokemon Yellow version.
Right, yeah.
But with, like, different mechanics. And it's got catching, like, in Pokemon Go. It hooks up to Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your Pokemon on a walk.
Yeah, it also has a specialized controller that looks like a Pokeball.
Yeah. this game very much seems to me like it is, like, the halfway point between Pokemon Go and one of the mainline RPG, like the actual style of Pokemon games. And I think what they've done, and it's a really smart move for them. It's them being able to say, hey, you know, kid who's maybe never played an actual Pokemon game, only knows these characters through Go, or hey, adult who has played Pokemon, the RPG game on their Game Boy back in the early 90s, but hasn't touched it since and is now playing Pokemon Go. Here are some RPG elements that kind of work with this.
Here's something you can do with all those Pokemon you've caught in Go.
Yeah, basically. And if you like this, then in a year when we have our mainline game out, it has more of that. So it's kind of easing them into it. And I think it's a really smart move on their part.
I think the kind of drop-in co-op is kind of fun.
Yeah,
that looks really fun.
Co-op for Pokemon is a cool idea, and that should be really fun.
I like that a lot. I like that it focuses only on the original 151.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's where my heart lies.
Yeah. I think jumping into that game like headfirst with like everything that's available currently would be a little daunting, especially to a player that is coming at it strictly from Pokemon Go. I like that extra controller. I think that thing is really neat.
Yeah, that thing is really cool. I'll definitely get that.
Oh, for sure. I like how it's both a controller and also like basically the Pokewalker from, what was that, Silver and...
Yeah, Heart, Gold, and Soul Silver.
That's it, yeah.
I'm going to be kind of the grumpy old man here, but why Eevee? Why? What is the community's obsession with Eevee? I can never see it.
If it's a remake of Pokemon Yellow, in that game your rival got an Eevee. And because it's a Pokemon game and it's has slight RPG elements, there's got to be two versions. That was the thought process. From what I understand, you cannot evolve your starter in either of those games.
What's the point of an Eevee that doesn't evolve? Its name is Eevee.
Well, you can put a sweet hat on it.
True.
Yeah, that is an element of this game, is that you can dress up your Pokemon, your Pikachu, or your Eevee. But I guess any Eevees that you catch in the game or in Pokemon Go and transfer over can be evolved, but just your that one starter you can't do anything with.
So you get a useless Eevee that you're going
to
get rid of.
So everyone needs to get Pokemon Let's Go
Pikachu
yeah. because that's the more versatile one.
I think it looks really cool. There's some people that aren't totally stoked on it because it's different and it's kind of a more casual. And for some reason, it's like Pokemon Go is like a dirty word for some people, and I don't get that.
It's for people who are so invested in like the battling and like tournament play and things like that. They see anything that's not part of the core game system as like not worth their time or effort or attention. And I think that sucks.
Yeah, like have fun. It looks fun.
Yeah, that's like someone who is a professional like Street Fighter player or Overwatch player walking into an arcade, walking up to a 5-year-old that's playing a Street Fighter 2 cabinet and saying, "Hey, your time doesn't matter. Screw you. Get out of here."
Yeah.
That sucks.
You're doing it. You're not enjoying this correctly.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that I don't enjoy the main core games. I really do. And that's actually the third thing from this press conference was that they announced that there is going to be a mainline full-blown RPG, like the next one in the main series for the Switch in 2019. Is that correct?
Yeah. And when they announced that should have forfeited anyone's right to complain
exactly.
about Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee existing, but that did not stop people.
Yeah, well,
they wanted the thing for them and they wanted it now.
Yeah, well, fandom is regularly the worst part of any kind of thing in media. But no, I'm excited for the core game. I mean, I've said for a long time that as soon as the Switch gets a Pokemon game and an Animal Crossing game, that is when I will trade in my 3DS and I'll go strictly Switch. And I mean, hold me to it. We're halfway there.
Yeah. Will we get that Animal Crossing at E3? Nobody knows.
God.
Although there has been some leaks of some games that are kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those.
Fortnite on the Switch definitely seems like it's going to be a thing, which that'll be huge.
Dragon Ball FighterZ looks to be.
It should have came out like at the same time.
I agree, but I mean,
because I don't think Fighters looked that like graphically that much different than Xenoverse.
No, it's pretty beefy graphic wise. There's a lot of graphics that go into making 3D models look 2D.
Hmm.
I think that Arxis hasn't put any other games on the Switch, I don't think. So I think maybe there was a hurdle with them, you know, porting it over there.
Okay.
That might have been the issue with that. But no, I'm excited for the mainline Pokemon game. I'm really excited for Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The co-op seems really cool.
Yeah, team battles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the fact that they're doing away with the random battles.
Yeah, all the Pokemon, you can see them on the map, like Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Again, it's kind of very halfway point between Go and the main game.
Yeah. Don't go into a cave, though, because you'll just be walking in circles around Zubats.
Zubats just everywhere.
It's interesting to see them take chances and change things up with the Pokemon formula.
Agreed.
Because it's been the exact same for a long time.
Agreed. Yeah. All right. Hey, let's wrap this up with this last Pokemon thing. So I guess there was a demo of the like the second generation of games. Gold and Silver that was leaked about a week ago or so. Less than a week ago, I guess. And someone data mined the demo and found like all these unused like proto Pokemon and like unused sprites and different like designs and versions of different things.
It's all very cool and very interesting to see what made it and what didn't.
Yeah, and what got changed along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, some of it's really cool. I like how the fire starter for Gen 2 was like this little fire bear guy.
Yeah.
That was pretty neat.
The proposed evolution for Ditto.
Oh yeah, the screaming
Bob.
Oh yeah, yeah. People have gone nuts for that. Some people have made like plushies of that, and there's been like fan art. You know how they've had like art of like a Pokemon with the Ditto face. they've taken that little screaming face and slapped it on like a bunch of different Pokemon. Oh, it's really great.
there's a really cool looking like electric tiger guy that I really like.
Everybody loves that electric tiger bear thing.
I wish they would have kept him.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I bet I wouldn't be surprised if some of these show up in the later gens.
I hope so.
Eventually. I really think so. I really like what Sharkpedo would have been. That
is that Gunfish?
No. That was the shark. There's a shark with an anchor on the back of it.
Oh.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, that one's really cool.
Yeah, but there's Remoraid and Octillery. That
makes
sense.
More sense. So much more sense.
Because Remoraid was supposed to look like a gun.
Yeah, and Octillery is supposed to look like a tank. That's also an octopus. And
I
now
wish,
it's just a fish that turns into an octopus.
They could have at least kept the helmet. Because the helmet is very cool.
Yeah, I agree. The legendary dogs look like someone's like weird DeviantArt OC. That sad water dog.
Yeah. Some of the sprites do look really rough too.
Yeah, they're not super great.
There's a skateboard, which is basically a bike you can use inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I'm waiting for the demo to get translated because I know they're working on it.
Yeah.
And then I'm definitely going to sit down and play it and try to download it as quickly as possible before Pokemon Company puts up a cease and desist.
Yeah,
and
Shuts
that down, yeah. But no, it's just kind of neat to kind of look in and see what could have been, I guess, and what kind of direction the series could have taken.
Yeah, they've always really closely guarded their unused material.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we've ever really seen that.
Yeah.
Something kind of Pokemon related that I saw, I guess they were talking to like one of the original like Pokemon people, and I guess Pikachu is not really a mouse. He's an electric squirrel.
Yeah, he's based on a squirrel.
Yeah. And you know what is in the original like big fat version, I can kind of see it, but these days, yeah, he's just a mouse.
Yeah, he's definitely changed over time a lot.
Oh yeah.
He's slim boy.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, I think that pretty much wraps it up for the week. Thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV. And also check us out on the hit social media platform, Gregor.zone.
That's right, Gregor.zone, that hot new website that everyone should go to, Gregor.zone.
People have been calling me constantly to get in on the ground floor
of Gregor.zone. Good. We got a true blue hit on our hands with Gregor.zone. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn.
Pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to our podcast. Absolutely.
If you open your internet browser and put Nerd Overload into one of the boxes, you'll get to us somehow.
You'll get to us sooner or later. That's absolutely right. But again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.